CBS Sports Radio.
Ike Feldman and Pete Hoffman are here from the great show, as I said earlier, Outside the Cage.
See me, Blast Arrow, baby, let's go. The Blast Express is going home. UFC Hawaii, Juju, let's go.
WFAN's Outside the Cage.
Outside the Cage.
Outside the Cage, which is growing like crazy.
This is Outside the Cage with Ike Feldman and Pete Hoffman on CBS Sports Radio.
This is Outside the Cage on radio.com. with your hosts, Ike Feldman, Pete Hoffman. Check us out at underscore outside the cage. He is at Ike underscore CBS.
He is at the Hoff WFAN. You might have to change it to at the Hoff Radio.
It might have to happen. Oh, my goodness. It might actually officially happen. Lot to discuss. We have Lewis Taylor, PFL finalist.
OG!
$1 million, people! I know. Listen, we're talking about the belt that he could win, but $1 million. I don't know. I'd probably talk about the money and then be grinning from ear to ear like, I can win a lot of money right now.
But he's a vet, so he understands.
It's between me and one other person. It's mine. It's mine. Yes, you're right. He's all about, he's a veteran. He's going to be 40 years old soon, but the guy understands what's in front of him, the test that's in front of him as well, and he's down for that belt and potentially that money as well. Also, we had an unbelievable main event, Isaac, in Milwaukee, right?
Dude.
UFC.
Raging Al came through, man. He was a huge underdog. I think he closed at, like, plus 250. Obviously, I believed him. I hope you did. I know you're Westchester, but you're still a New York cat.
No, Al's of course, man. Yeah.
Yeah, man. All New York. Al's Long Island. He's New York. He represented us very well. UFC Milwaukee, the final UFC card on Fox. Yep. It was Big Fox. Al shows that he should be a top five lightweight. Can't wait for him. Kevin Lee needs a step back and not dance so much, as Lewis Taylor from PFL gets into that.
I loved it. It honestly was great. Lewis Taylor was legit. If you ever, he'll be up next, but definitely got to listen into that interview. Talks about a lot of stuff. But the one thing about Al, it was funny because someone made a huge point about this. I forgot which team it was, and I started to not credit them, but they said the Kevin Lee test here. If he beats Al, how does he beat Al? If it's better than Khabib beat Al, then we got something to talk about. And if not, if it's not as impressive, then not so much. Al just manhandled Kevin Lee the last two rounds. There's some discrepancy over the first three, and some other Aljamain Sterling I saw on Twitter said that second round, even though Al was taken to the ground, the last half of that round, He stood up and was able to strike with Kevin Lee. So that 49-46 might not be as far off as some people may think it is. But the fact is that Raging Al looked fantastic. And if he can fight Khabib with a full training camp, what?
That's what I'm saying, man. Look what happens when he puts his selling houses to the side. I don't know if he has kids or a girlfriend, but he was laser freaking focused for this fight. Khabib, as we all know, that fight back in April, it took on 24 hours notice.
Yep.
And then before that, the Diego Sanchez, that was a long hiatus.
Oh my God.
And I respect it because he was going back and forth with management. He was kind of fighting. I know it's for him and it was kind of selfish, but he was fighting for fighter pay. You know, he's saying, guys, we should be fighting for more money. We're professional athletes, top 10 in the world athletes for our given sport and division. We should be getting paid more. Looks like Al, he stepped in on short notice against Khabib. Backed it up with an amazing performance against Kevin Lee. You better believe the UFC is going to pay the man, and especially if he's fighting Tony, Dustin Poirier, Conor, or Khabib.
That lightweight division is up for grabs now as far as contenders. I mean, we just saw Edson Barbosa manhandle Dan Hooker. Again, like so Dan Hooker is this up-and-comer. That's all we kept on hearing about is Dan Hooker. Edson Barbosa.
The old line.
Phenomenal, dude. I mean, it ended with not the extreme kicks to the stomach, but before that, the damage that Barbosa was putting on Hooker was incredible.
You couldn't kill Hooker.
No.
Dude, he's dragging himself.
And that is the fighter mentality, unfortunately, is I'm not going down. You can't do anything. I'm going to stand and bang with you as long as possible.
Like Ortega.
Yeah, and unfortunately, sometimes the refs got to step in there, because there was a few times where Hooker got stung and just stood there, and I was like, I thought he was about to crap his pants, dude. I mean, I almost did, just from watching the one thing I said, and we'll move on from this, internally check his organs, because he was taking major blows to the body.
Yeah, the face seemed like it was okay. The knee got damaged. He was limping on it. But, dude, for real, those kicks were just landed over and over to the side, to the directly down the middle. Check his organs.
Yes. But the point, we started with the fact that this lightweight division is super stacked.
We could do a whole podcast on welterweight versus lightweight. What divisions are better? The Diaz brothers are the on the fence. If one of them returns, we might get a freaking division might take over.
And then just imagine if they ever changed the welterweight to 165 and had that 175 in there, then this is just chaos.
Kevin Lee needs it.
Because it's simple. It's a simple 10-pound step up for the 155, 5-step down for the one. The matchups are unbelievable. UFC has said that they don't want to do that. They don't want to extend. They don't want to make another division. But you have so many unbelievable matchups right now. You just combine those two together or come close to it. The matchups are...
Dana's not an idiot. I think he's just playing us a little. I think he wants to know for sure that they can get all the fighters, that this sounds crazy, a whole division. I mean... We're piecing it together pretty easy. I'm sure there's smart people behind the scenes that are thinking the same thing. Dana, they're going to probably...
They sign Greg Hardy.
All right.
You killed it.
You're right. That is not the same people I hope that are making the division decisions.
Right. But matchmakers are much different than the people that are hiring them.
Oh, we've killed it enough. I think that was two podcasts ago on our live show nationally that we just killed the Greg Hardy decision, and he hasn't moved. Nobody's hurt. He's still on that. He's still on that fight night. But, man, if they just create that division, Kevin Lee, Rafael Dos Santos, Ben Askren, I think it's easier cut for Michael Chiesa. The division stacks already. I think they're just kind of like they're going to handle everything and then hand it to Dana in the last minute. Hey, can you just sign this 165?
He'll please. It's like a sign-off for like, can you get another Connor fight? Sure, I'll check that off. And on the back was like 165, 175 division. I didn't realize that it was on the same piece of paper. You know, that's how they do in politics. It's the same way. But we have one more major card for the year that's going to come up, not this weekend, but the following. That's the John Jones, Alexander Gustafsson fight.
Wow.
Which is super exciting. You also have the PFL finals. Dude, a lot of people walk away with $1 million.
Is that Monday night? I guess if the John Jones is Monday. Saturday, and then
it's Monday.
Yeah. Wow, interesting.
I don't think
there's ever been MMA on a Monday.
No, was it Monday night? Monday night MMA. Here
Monday night
started,
MMA.
We just started.
Are you ready for some combat? Combat sports.
So that's coming up on December 31st, the PFL finals. Lewis Taylor is going to be facing Abus Magomedov. Magomedov.
Oh, you screwed up the easy part.
The Magomedov, Abus Magomedov. That's going to be for the middleweight division championship and the $1 million prize. And Lewis Taylor's coming up next on Outside the Cage.
This is Tyron, the chosen one with the UFC welterweight champion of the world, and you're listening to WFAN's Outside the Cage podcast.
This is Outside the Cage with your hosts, Ike Fellman, Pete Hoffman, and we've talked about this week after week after week, but we're finally almost, 10 days away at this point in time? The opportunity for $1 million is coming up for a bunch of fighters in the PFL. And we are being joined by one of the vets of the MMA world. He is fighting for the opportunity to win that $1 million, Lewis Taylor. Lewis, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Y'all forgot to mention, though, we fighting for the money, but we also fighting for that world title, the belt. I'm trying to be the PFL 2018 champion.
There you go. And you know, that's one thing that we do. The big draw here is the money factor. That is one of the huge things. But on the other hand, too, that belt is a opportunity to make more money for the future. But just it's a championship at the end of the day, because money can come and go. You can find ways to make money, but to hold that title, what would that mean to you?
that would mean, for me, at this point, you know, I was the last person to compete for the WSOF title before it ran away in the hands of David Branch. So for me, it's something I really got my eye on. You know, the money's nice, but I'm really trying to reclaim what I lost.
And in your fight coming up, you know, Magomedov over here, you know, you look at him, he's...
Damn Magomedovs now.
I mean, there's another one. It's unbelievable. But yeah. You look at him, you know, he's a taller, younger opponent. But what can you do as, you know, because again, there's a 10-year difference. But sometimes that age, you've seen everything in the cage. You can find ways to victory. So what can you do to beat this young Magomedov?
You know, at the end of the day, I'm going to go do what I do best, and that's remain unpredictable, and that's just dominate and give guys problems. Abus has everything that it's going to take for him to be around this game a long time and for him to be at some point a victorious lion on top of the mountain. But right now, I'm not done yet, and this old lion still got a lot to do, a lot to say.
And it's been very exciting to see your fights, man. Again, December 31st, the finale with the belt on the line, the 2018 champion. I think they're bringing back PFL, you know, season two. I feel like this was a major success. This final event's been fantastic. Can you talk about the training? Obviously, you're coming off two fights in the same night, and now you have a nice couple of maybe an 8 or 10 week layoff. Can you talk about the training? Off the air, you're just talking about you're 1 week away and you're still training 2 or 3 times a day. Can you talk about the training? Do you got one more sparring session? Fill us in a little.
Yeah, you know, because we leave, we know we heading out next week to be in New York, and then that's when I think all my training will officially stop, and it'll just be all about the weight cut. But until I leave, I'm going to make use of every tool that I have at my disposal. And I'm realizing that once I get to New York, I'm not going to have these bodies. I'm not going to have these gyms to utilize. So I'm not trying to let a moment go. There's a lot on the line. And I'd rather be overconfident than underconfident about the mile not ran, you know. So I'm going to do everything I can up until the last minute, my last breath. And I want to come out at this 2018 as victorious.
Now, we've talked to Copeland. We've talked to Cooper. We talked to Steven Seiler. A lot of them have different perspectives why they're fighting for this final. Sean O'Connell, you know, veterans, young guys in the sport. Some of them want to just make their name in the sport. Maybe potentially they could be fighting on the ESPN now. Some of them just want to get respect, get the money. What are you fighting for? December 31st, man, when that rolls around, I hope you're drinking a delicious glass of champagne after victory, but what are you fighting for when you wake up that morning, December 31st, and you're looking, staring down the middle of either $1 million and a belt?
You know, I got my mind on the money. I got my mind on the money. I got my mind on the belt. I got my mind on securing schooling for my kids and paying mortgages off for my wife. I got my mind set to take this thing and to be a better human with it. You know, I put in a lot of time in this sport, and letting these young whippersnappers come in and take my shine is not what I'm trying to do.
Again, we're being joined by Lewis Taylor, PFL finalist. Looking forward to it December 31st at the Hulu Theater. Lewis, you know, you come from Chicago, you know, and you talked about what else is on the line here and what you want to represent. You know, you have kids and everything. You know, what else does it mean to you, you know, every time you get in that cage? You know, we just saw Max Holloway not too long ago bring his kids ringside and cage side and go into war basically with a Brian Ortega type. You know, that's what you do every time you step in the cage. You put your body and your life kind of on the line. Are you a fan of bringing your kids or your family to the cage watching you fight?
Yeah, you know, it'd be nice if they allow my family up in the cage and let us have our moment. My kids will definitely be on set. My mom, my mother-in-law, even my priest, everybody's coming. But
I love the priest. That's awesome.
You know, we're gonna be there in full effect. You know, we no, win or lose, this PFL season has been a great ride. And I truly enjoy this year more than probably any other year that I've been fighting. It's been the one thing that's been lacking in my career. It's been busy. I've proven this year that I'm durable and that I can fight consistently and that I can beat the best of the best. It's just a problem of finding people who are willing to fight me and shows that aren't going to get canceled. So I'm really enjoying this PFL format, and I'm looking forward to the 2019 season.
Lewis, I mean, we can really feel the passion in your voice, man. And these Russians have won enough in 2018. How about a boy from Chicago? He could get the victory, get the belt, get the money. I want to talk about your mindset, man. I talked about your mind. What are you going forward? But what about, like, in the middle of the night? Are you just – can you touch the money or the belt? Like, are you having snap reactions in your knee in the middle of nowhere? Like, have you – what's the visions going on?
The thing about me is I never look too far ahead because anything you dream about can be taken. I'm more of a person who likes to, you know, I'm only going to worry about the things that I can control and the things that I can hold with my hands. So for me right now, it's the money and the belt, those are part of the bigger dream, but I'm only dreaming about, you know, whooping a Boos's butt. That's it. You know, everything that comes after that fight, you know, I'll take with a smile, but I'm not looking forward to none of that. I'm just looking forward to getting in a cage with him, and then I can, you know, live the dream or whatever, and take that deep breath. But I'm not gonna get beyond myself. I'm taking this one step at a time, and the first thing I got to do is smack around a little Russian.
Listen, and you know, again, Lewis, being joined by Lewis Taylor, you've been here before. You've been in these situations before. You've had a lot on the line before. So you have the experience. You know, a 28-year-old, the Boos, you know, he hasn't been through what you've gone through. But we've also talked about you've already hinted that you want to be back for PFL season two. You know, we've seen some really, like Randy Couture, for example, had a very long-lasting career that took him late into his 40s. When will you know when it's time to hang them up?
When I start losing, you know. you know, right now, I said I was going to be done at 36, to be honest. But I train with UFC fighters, I spar, and I'm still a handful. You know, I'm losing some steps, and naturally, I'm getting slower. I don't want to take a full shot, like, you know, going down. You know, I'm feeling the age. But at the same time, when I start losing, that's when I'll start thinking about walking away. But right now, I have no shame in anybody I've lost to in the last 6 years. It's only been David Branch, who at the time was a double belt champion and is at the top of his game. It's just unfortunate that my name doesn't shine like theirs. But you still look at the top of the heap, and you still got people my age rocking and rolling. You got Jacare, you got even DC. You know, you got guys up there, but no one's worried about their age because the way they fight is all that matters. And that's the same thing with me. When we start losing, then we'll start worrying about, you know, what's next and what's the next thing to move on to. But right now, I got a Boos in front of me, and that's all I'm focused on.
Well, you said that, though, like, you know, that you look at all these other older fighters that are being seriously successful right now, and that's one thing. Like, every time you step in that cage, it is more knowledge for you, and that's the one thing we talk about these fighters. We talk about you fighters in general is how I love the sport because I think even after a loss, the amount that you can learn from it and what you do to improve from there. Yeah, you lost to David Branch, but you've recovered handsomely from there. What are you on, like a five-fight win streak or something like that? So, I mean, you've learned a lot. You've taken a lot. You know, could you say something to that? Like, stepping into the cage, are there still the same nerves? Or do you feel the confidence level of, I've been here before so many times?
No, you know, I always suggest that not to be too confident in anybody I train or if I'm in your corner, you know, because fear is a healthy reminder of the things that can come with overconfidence. You know, I mean, cause if you go in there too cocky, you'll come out looking like Kevin Lee, you know,
so,
you know, I'm gonna be humble in my approach, in victory or defeat. But at the same time, being aware, having a little fear keeps you sharp. Being overconfident gets you rocked.
I mean, agreed. Yeah. I agreed. There's one thing I want to talk about. I mean, you grew up in Chicago.
Oh yeah,
from this in the city.
Yeah. That's one of the things I got to really claim. A lot of these people say they're from Chicago, but they're really not. They're from some suburb on the outskirts. I'm the only one who's really from Chicago.
Let's go. You know?
And
where's, you know, Kanye from? Is Kanye from the suburbs?
He's from still a decent part, but he's not from the hood. You know, Chicago's super segregated and super. Everybody stays in their little box. I'm from where you don't leave out that box. You know, the world doesn't want you, you know. You know, as far as the MMA game, there's very few who could actually even walk in my neighborhood, more or less say they made it out of it.
Wow. Wow. I mean, I want to go the route of, for this question, watching Kevin Lee, you know, everybody saw Ally Aquinta. It was great, man. Like, even though Kevin Lee lost, I love him, man. I talked to him before. He's a great guy. Al came out very stone-faced, stoic, walked to the cage. Kevin Lee, man, he was feeling himself, and I loved it. And I thought, and I was trying to explain to my friend, he's not white, he's not black, he's Puerto Rican. And he goes, man, is this guy a little cocky? I go, but it's a confidence. It's the confidence for the black man. And I heard Bisping on the desk. He goes, oh, if I seen a guy walk like that, I want to kill him. And Tyron Woodley was about to jump in. Can you explain that there's a different type of confidence that a white man portrays, a black man portrays, and a Spanish man? Like, it's where you're from in your culture.
No, I don't know. I think it's within the individual. You know, Connor has his own swag. Everybody has their own it thing. And as a martial artist, I've done the Kevin Lee thing before, and that was exactly the last loss I had before David Branch, and I'll never do that shit again.
Wow.
And that's the thing, you know. This is a business. We got a job to do. And the thing about that walk and his approach to the fight game is he's more on entertainment mode than he is on fight mode. And that cost him because, you know, you have to be ready to – you have to entertain people. But at some point, the entertaining crap has to get cut off, and it has to be only about the fight and about entertaining them with your skills. And I feel like Kevin, he got lost in the sauce a little bit with – trying to, you know, be too much of a showman, and not more of a martial artist. And there's nothing wrong with that, because if you're going to walk the walk, you know, you got to talk the talk, but you got to win, you know? So that's the problem I have. If Connor goes in there talking smack, or anybody goes in there walking and swag and all that, you got to win. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it, because just like Joanna, JoJo, you know, people have their different approaches. But if they don't win, then you're a villain.
Lewis, I mean, that's unbelievable, because you stole my thunder. I wanted to ask you about some Conor questions. You kind of all added it all together. So is it okay that Habib jumped to the cage, though?
You know, it is. It is. It is.
I agree.
I think it is. And people get that confused as well. They want everybody to sing Kumbaya and shake hands and be friends at the end of the day. But if someone attacked you on a bus or whatever, if anybody attacks you in life, period, I want to whoop your ass. I want to whoop your crew ass. I want to whoop anybody who thinks they're going to whoop my, you know. So it does. And I've met Khabib many times, and he's super humble, super docile. But everybody has that switch, you know. And I just feel like that switch was clicked. And you know how it goes. It's like a, you know, I'm done with Connor. Where's the next? He was just on fire, you know? And the crazy thing is I met both these guys too, Connor too. And Connor be, you know, they all would be cool. Well, I remember literally taking a picture with Connor and then turning around and him and Woodley was at it. Then the next time I was taking a picture with Connor again in New York and turning around and him and Khabib was at it. I'm like, what the hell? You know, because the switch has been, you know, like they just, you know, so you can't control it. Connor has been the aggressor And now the minute that someone else is the aggressor, everybody's, you know, having a fit. You can't control every fighter all the time. We do a good job of controlling ourselves. Khabib lost a little control, and he has to live with that within his own community, his own religion. The same things that Conor did, he kind of, you know, he kind of hurt himself a little bit, you know, because he had been a great example of the Muslim Dagestani people, which a lot of people didn't even know existed in the world. You know, they didn't even know there was Muslims in Russia. You know,
I was one of them.
You know, and that's the thing. You know, my close teammate and partner Bilal Muhammad's a Muslim, so I had been close with them a little bit before. And that was just like, you know, and so I know how it is. He always greets us, you know, very humbly and very respectfully, you know, even though sometimes when somebody goes, oh, hello, I'm Khabib, and you want to punch them in the mouth, like, I know who you are. you know, it's just one of those things. But he's been very, very nice. You know, I was upset that he got so much negative feedback for that. But at the same time, this world feeds off of negativity.
It's true.
So much that you saw his Instagram and his followers jump by millions just because he did it. And from this day forward, he'll be a rock star just because he did it. He might have lost millions from the Nevada, but he gained a lot more than he ever lost.
Lewis, amazing. Seriously, this was one of our best interviews. Really appreciate it. My final thing, man, what are you going to walk out to December 31st?
You know what? I don't know, man. I'm thinking about, I don't know, I got a bunch of guys from the hood dropping their CDs off, but you know, I'm a old school cat, and that, and, you know, I'm thinking about a little Prince, a little Go Crazy.
Ooh, like it. Especially on New Year's Eve. Let's go. That's awesome, dude.
Yeah, you know, I might have to bring that feeling back. You know, that energy of them guitars and the thing, just let's go.
Oh, my God. That's awesome, dude.
Lewis Taylor, appreciate it. December 31st, the Hulu Theater. We're going to catch your fight against Magomedov number 18, the one on the card for the PFL 11. Dude, good luck with everything. Honestly, really appreciate your time.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, guys. Y'all have a good day. I'll see y'all in New York, hopefully.
Lewis, definitely, man. Be safe, all right? Talk to you soon.
What's up, guys? This is Daniel Cormier, and you're listening to WFAN's Outside the Cage podcast.
I'm going to make this statement now. You heard this weeks in advance. I believe we're going to get amazing over-the-top performances on this PFL lineup. These cats, you may recognize some of their names from the UFC or Strikeforce. They're going to put everything they have on the line. The PFL Season 2 cats, you might get UFC more prevalent names or Bellator names. They're going to come over because of the money. But on December 31st, the Lewis Taylor, the Ray Coopers. I don't even know if Ray Cooper has a freaking Twitter. We're going to get historic performances, I promise you, man.
No question.
You're going to have to kill these guys to get them out of there.
Yeah, and that's what it comes down to. And the thing is, it's crazy how it's lining up. It's like the vet versus the young gun. You know, a lot of these younger guys are coming up. They're hungry. They haven't had the exposure as these vets have. But this might be the one and only payday for these vets. And again, PFL, according to a lot of these fighters, are saying that they're doing a good job by us no matter what, and we'll come back for Season 2 no matter what.
Yeah, losers, I think, at $200K. Not too bad.
No. Compared to what they've been making over the past few years, I mean, some people, we talked about financially speaking, so $26K for a fight. It's
I don't
not
think
a lot.
Guy Quinta in the Sanchez, Khabib, and Lee fight, I don't think he's got $200K combined.
No. So it's great to see that they're rewarding their fighters. They're rewarding the fans because you're right. It's going to be – you're going to have to pull these guys off each other. They're going to have to pull them out of the cage and say, guys, fight's over. It's done. You've won or you've lost. That's it. It's going to be exciting. I can't wait for New Year's Eve for many different reasons.
Hopefully we're there. Hopefully we're doing something. Radio.com.
There we go. Isaac, it was a pleasure as always. We'll be back with more next week. Hopefully have some previews for UFC 232. Gustafson, John Jones. It's funny, and we'll get into this more next week, but is it still suspended technically? Because it's like a temporary license for his...
Yeah, Dana White's like, just make me this money and then you're suspended again.
Yeah. So I would not be surprised if John Jones goes back on suspension right after December 29th. Even if
they arrest him when his hands be
going to jail for something else. You just don't know. And we'll see. 2019 is a whole different scenario. But again, follow us, radio.com. We got the articles. Our podcast on CBSSportsRadio.com and WFAN.com.
Twitter handle at underscore outside the cage. He's at Ike underscore CBS.
I like how you clarify. And then you're at the Hall of WFAN, soon to be something else.
Possibly, yes. Well, because I don't want to get yelled at anymore for stuff that you do. So Ike is this. And
sorry, Troy.
He's still pissed off at me because we called his name. Again, we will see you guys back next week. Thanks so much.